What's up, Ohio?
Not much, man. Hey, the question was for Joe.
Yeah. What's up, dude?
Oh, hey, Stanhope was on Raw Dog not too long ago talking about you guys back in the man show days. Said you guys were out there, and he, some kind of drug or something, just totally spaced him out.
Oh, DMT. Yeah, it's called dimethyltryptamine. It's produced by your pineal gland. It's actually a gland that lives, that's in the center of your brain. It's the craziest drug ever. It's the most potent psychedelic known to man. Literally, it's, but the craziest thing is about it is it's natural. And your brain produces it every night as you sleep. You know, when you sleep, during the time you're in heavy REM sleep and right before human death, your brain pumps out heavy doses of dimethyltryptamine. Nobody knows what sleep
Jesus
is
Christ.
All about. Nobody knows what dreaming is important, why dreaming is important, but dreaming is hugely important. If you don't dream, you'll go fucking crazy and you'll die. And
wow.
While you're dreaming, while you're in heavy REM sleep, you are going through a psychedelic trip. And very few people know about this. But it's been documented. There's a great book on it called DMT, the Spirit Molecule, by a doctor named Dr. Rick Strassman. And he did all these clinical studies at the University of New Mexico on it. And you take this shit, and literally, you are transported into another fucking dimension. I don't mean like you feel like you're in another dimension. I mean like you're in another dimension. You're
with
in
furniture.
Another dimension where there's no furniture, bro. There's fucking complex geometric patterns moving in synchronous order through the air, all around you, in three-dimensional space. And it's like they're arteries, except there's not blood pumping through them. There's fucking light, pulsating lights with no boundaries, and you can't really understand it. And there's an alien communicating with me. And there's a dude who looks like sort of like a Thai Buddha, except he's made entirely of energy, and there's no like outline to him. He's just one thing, and he's concentrating on it, and he's trying to tell me not to give in to astonishment. Just relax and try to experience this. And I'm like, you got to be fucking shitting me. And I'm a stand-up comedian, you know, because as a stand-up comedian, we pride ourselves in being able to describe things. So I'm like, how the fuck am I going to talk about this? And this is insane, because there's like a beat. It's like, woo-dum, woo-dum, woo-dum. And there's all these fucking complex patterns moving around. And this guy's looking at me in the eye, and I am fucking freaking out. And it lasts for about 5 minutes. And when it's over... When it's over, after 5 minutes, you're like, what the fuck is that? Now, here's where it gets really crazy. Every night.
Wait, you're listening to Dr. Joe Rogan on Brewer and Lee.
Dimethyltryptamine. Look it up online. DMT. And you, when you're doing this every night when you go to sleep, when you have heavy REM sleep, nobody understands why we have to do that. It's never been figured out. But when you're doing it, you don't remember any of that experience. Well, the heavy doses that they gave people in clinical trials with the Strassman studies... The heavy doses produced the most profound effects, but nobody remembered them. There was no memory of it whatsoever.
That's what
much like you have when you go to sleep every night and then you wake up. Everyone dreams, everyone has DMT trips, and no one remembers it. Now, if you smoke it, it doesn't last nearly as long. It only lasts about 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, but you remember it, but very fleeting. It's like a dream. Like, after the dream is over, you got to write it. I remember because I recorded it. I had a tape recorder and I had a video camera. And when I came out of it, I just started talking about it, like, right away, as much as I could remember. But even, like, 30 seconds after I talked about it, I was like, man, how did it go? What happened? It's not like an experience, like, your brain is trying to protect you from that experience. And the bigger the dose, the more your brain protects you. It literally shuts it off. It's like a shutdown valve. And it happens to you every night, man.
What? Now, how do you get now? Because that's a great commercial. How do we get this,
Well, here's
Joe?
The crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing about it. It's a human neurotransmitter. It exists in every single one of us, and yet it's one of the most illegal substances in the world. Is it more illegal than heroin? It's just as illegal as... It is the most illegal substance you could possibly get. Yet it exists in almost every ecosystem. It's in grasses and animals. It's the pineal gland that produces it literally is your third eye. In reptiles, it actually has a retina, a cornea, and a lens.
Should we, like maybe a baby
You should
farm?
All smoke DMT and join my cult, motherfucker!
I'm in. Dude, after the tirade, I'm in, man.
I'm
so
telling
like a
you, man, you will never,
from
you
a baby
never
farm
see
or something?
Life. You can get it anywhere. You can get it
you
from
can
grass.
Get it.
You can get it from grass. There's all sorts of things online. If you have a fairly simple chemist setup, you can extract DMT from grass.
Well,
to,
we've grass cuttings.
We've now violated the Patriot Act.
He's right. That guy, Doug Stanhope, was on our show, and he talked about this because I brought you up.
Well, there's two types of DMT. I've done one type with Doug, which is 5-methoxy-dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT with an oxygen molecule attached to it. And then there's NN-DMT, which is the DMT that's excreted by your pineal gland. They're very similar in experience, except the 5-methoxy-dimethyltryptamine doesn't give you the visual effects.
Bro, have you hiked in the rainforest yet?
Just I have an isolation tank in my basement. There's no need to go to the rainforest. Fuck all that travel.
Hey, after that little experience, man.
I go on my isolation tank with mushrooms.
But where do you go after that? Underutilizing you on that show, man. I'm just saying, stop. Tell the contestants to shut up and let Joe go.
That's the fear factor.
There you go.
Right there,
everyone's going to do DMT, and if you can survive it, and the aliens don't kill you, and your head doesn't come off.
I tell everybody, man, everybody in their life, if you live, you know, and you haven't had a heavy psychedelic experience, and you haven't gone in an isolation tank, you've missed out. You've missed out on a huge chunk of what life really is. Life is a massive fucking mystery. And there's only a few different ways to really crack below the surface of that mystery. And the best way is psychedelics. And the heavier the psychedelic, the better. And guess what? No one's dying from psychedelics. All our thoughts on psychedelics are all based on bullshit propaganda that we heard about people, you know, going crazy or losing their minds on it. You're not going to go crazy. You're going to go fucking sane. All right? All that stuff is going to remove your ego, and it's going to explain to you what the world is really all about and cuddle all the surface
What is the world really about?
We're bacteria. That's what it's about. You ever fly over
Shaka.
Earth?
Shaka is so excited. Hold on, Chris.
We're
energy. Anything? This is your write-up. Shaka's out.
Keep going, bro. I'm a student right now.
Can we get some Shaka music for Rogan and Shaka?
You want to get really crazy about what humans are all about, all right? And it's not necessarily, you know, look, there's great things in us, and there's beauty in people, and there's, you know, babies are cute and shit like that. But when you get past that, a lot of what that stuff is biological tricks that are all set up to make sure that we keep perpetuating the species, keep moving this thing forward. Now, why does a species want to move forward? Why does technology move forward? Why do we keep inventing new weapons, and why do we keep inventing new crazy cell phones? What is this thirst for innovation? What's this all about? Well, this is what I think. If you fly into L.A., all right, you're going over those mountains, man. You see these beautiful fields and shit. And then all of a sudden you see L.A. If you looked at the Earth as a living organism, you would look at L.A. and you go, that's fucking cancer.
Right.
That's like a growth. What is that? What is that shit? There's some weird shit growing there, and it's got brown smoke coming out of it, and it fucking stinks.
It's killing all the trees.
And it's getting bigger, and it's getting bigger every year. Well, why is it getting bigger? And why do people just keep fucking having kids constantly? What is this all about? Well, I think that it's our purpose, much like how yeast makes bread rise or mold takes over a fucking sandwich. I think that's what people do. I think we're just a very complicated form.
Yeah.
Which is a very complicated form of bacteria. And all our thoughts on ourselves, it's all just biological tricks to keep your ego alive, to keep your biology alive, to make sure you keep perpetuating this fucking thing, to make this human organism, this one gigantic organism, keep growing. When you look at, like, mold on a sandwich, you don't look at individual mold spores with individual identities and jobs and careers. You look at a pile of fucking mold, you know? And that's what people are, man. We just think we're individuals. We're not. We're one collective group. We can't even be away from each other. We get lonely. For punishment in prison, they take you away from other people. I'm in fucking prisoners! Wouldn't that be the best thing? Dude, keep me the fuck away from the prisoners. No, that's punishment, dude. We need people so badly that if you put us in a room with no scumbags and murderers, we get sad.
Bro, I missed you.
Oh, that was fucking huge.
But it's crazy. But this is it all relates to the DMT world. This is what I think. Every night when you go to sleep, you trip for 8 hours, and you need that. You have to have it, and your body has to have it. You owe that to the grid. Well, I think the whole reason why people are alive, I think there's two consciousness. There's a dream consciousness, and there's a waking consciousness. And this dream consciousness might be more real than the waking consciousness. Mm-hmm. That might be what our whole biology is about. And this whole complex system of fucking social order and, you know, predetermined patterns of behavior and cultural traditions and all that shit might just be ways to effectively move along the breeding process and make sure we keep adding more to the grid. More people, more animals, more babies, save the whales. We're just trying to save energy. We're trying to contribute more to this dimethyltryptamine grid that you see every night when you sleep, but you can't remember.
one of the things that has caused me to think that it must, that it might have a role in the chemistry of dreaming, is that one of the frustrating things about it is you have this experience, without doubt, the most bizarre, appalling, peculiar experience you could possibly have. That's at minute two. At minute five, you're raving about it. At minute seven, you can't remember it. And so it's literally like gold running through your fingers. You say, you know, this is the most amazing thing. This is the most amazing thing. This is, what am I talking about? And you know how you can have a very engaging, complex dream and the alarm goes off, and by the time your feet hit the floor, you're grasping for it. And it's just, it's literally melting before your eyes. That's a very DMT-like presentation. The way a dream melts away is the way a DMT trip melts away, at the same speed. Well, over time and using tricks, you can drag a certain amount of data out of it. And what I'll do is I'll describe a DMT trip, and it's a composite of maybe 40 of these trips, and then you can see what you make of it. So this is, I'll just describe it. I'll be the graduate student. You be the guy with the clipboard. You're saying to me, so what happened? Okay, here's what happened. I took one take. Most people can get off in about 3 to 4 hits. Now, there's a trick to it. Hash smokers are greatly favored in this endeavor because you really need leather lungs for this. The great problem is that people will cough or not be able to hold it in. You take 2 hits in a situation where your clothes have been loosened and you can just flop backward when you need to. You take 2 hits. Now, many people miss the point, because after 2 hits, you feel completely peculiar. You feel as though your body is undergoing some strange kind of anesthesia. All the air has been pumped out of the room. This is the visual acuity thing I talked about last night. The colors jump up. The edges sharpen. And at that point, people say, whoa, wow, it's really coming on strong. And then what you have to do is you have to take one more enormous hit. And this separates the intrepid from the casual, believe me. Because most people, and the facilitator doesn't want to lean on the person. You say, you know, damn it, take the third hit. And saying, no, I feel completely weird. Say, I know you feel weird, but take the third hit. Well, if you can coax somebody into that, then what happens is you close your eyes. And you see the ordinary warm brown back, you know, closed eyelid scenario. And then these colors begin racing together and it forms this mandalic, floral, slowly rotating thing, which I call the chrysanthemum. This is a place in the trip that you want to see as you go by it. The chrysanthemum forms, and you watch it for like 15 seconds. If it doesn't give way, then you didn't do enough. You have to do more. One more hit usually will do it. Well, then what happens is it like physically propels you through this chrysanthemum-like thing. And there's a sound like a saran wrap bread wrapper being crumpled up and thrown away, you know, that crackle. A friend of mine says, this is your radio intellecty leaving through the anterior fontanelle at the top of your head. I don't know what it is, but it's something is being... Yeah, right, that's what it is. And then there's this very defined sense of bursting through something, a membrane. And on the other side, and this is now, remember, my experience, on the other side, as you break through, there's a cheer. There's a whole bunch of entities waiting on the other side. And they, you know that Pink Floyd song, "The Gnomes Have Learned a New Way to Say Hooray"? Well, it's that place. It's those gnomes. And you burst into this space, and they're saying, "How wonderful that you're here. You come so rarely. We're so delighted to see you." And the one of the things about the MT that's really puzzling is, in a sense, it doesn't affect your mind. In other words, you don't change. For instance, if you take ketamine, the first thing you notice, the very first thing you notice before the trip hits, is you notice that you no longer are anxious about having taken ketamine. You just sort of, anxiety leaves you. That means it's affecting your mind. It's doing something to the judgmental machinery. DMT doesn't lay a hand on the judgmental machinery. You break through into that space exactly who you were before breaking through. And the usual reaction of most people is something like, you know, you think, God, heartbeat, normal, pulse, normal, everything's normal, yeah, everything's normal, oh God. Because these things are there, and they're hammering at you, and they come forward. They're like jeweled self-dribbling basketballs, and there are many of them, and they come pounding toward you, and they will stop in front of you and vibrate, but then they do a very disconcerting thing, which is they jump into your body. They jump into your body, and then they jump back out again. And the whole thing is going on in this very high-speed mode where you're being presented with thousands of details per second, and you can't get a hold on... You say, you know, my God, what's happening? And these things are saying, don't abandon yourself to amazement, which is exactly what you want to do. You just want to go nuts with how crazy this is. They say, don't do that. Don't do that. Pay attention. Pay attention to what we're doing. Well, what are they doing? Well, what they're doing is they're making objects with their voices. They're singing structures into existence. These things are, and what they will do is they'll come toward you, and then, and you have to understand, they don't have arms. So we're kind of downloading this into a lower dimension to even describe it. But what they do is they offer things to you. Say, look at this. Look at this. And as your attention goes toward these objects, you realize that what you're being shown is impossible. It's impossible. It's not simply intricate, beautiful, and hard to manufacture. It's impossible to make these things. The nearest analogy would be to the Fabergé eggs or something like that. But these things are like the toys that are scattered around the nursery inside a UFO or something. Celestial toys. And they are, the toys themselves appear to be somehow alive. The toys themselves can sing other objects into existence. So what's happening is there's just this proliferation of elf gifts, and the elf gifts are moving around singing, and the whole thing is directed toward, they're saying, do what we are doing. And they're very insistent. They say, do it, do it, do it. And you feel like a bubble. And now this is subjective. I mean, only 5% report this, but it happens to me. You feel like some kind of bubble inside your body that's beginning to move up toward your mouth. And when it comes out, it isn't sound, it's vision. You discover that you can pump stuff out of your mouth by singing. And they're urging you to do this. They say, that's it. That's it. Keep doing it. And the whole thing is like, you know, we're now at minute 4.5 with this stuff. And you speak in a kind of glossolalia. There's a spontaneous outpouring of syntax unaccompanied by what is normally called meaning. It's sort of, you know, he ding wow wak sop divi mu detipi ting get wahak siki pipin em wahavedetam bohaga yetek. And this is accompanied by a modality, something seen. And they're saying, yes, do it, do it, do it. And then after a minute or so of this, the whole thing begins to collapse in on itself. And they literally begin to physically move away from you. And usually their final shot is they actually wave goodbye and they say, deja vu, deja vu, which makes no sense at all if you analyze it. So then you come down, and you're now at minute 6 to 7, and you come down, and it's like being more loaded than you've ever been. It's like about a 700 mic acid trip, but you embrace it as totally down. You say, I'm totally down. I mean, you look like a termite from Arturus, and the room is decorated in Amish quilts, but I'm completely back. And then, over a minute or a minute and a half or so, the room just comes right back together. And 4 minutes after that, some people can give no account of it whatsoever. They just say, you know, I don't know. It was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me, and I can't remember it now.